coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show. With me, Ekaterina Kudoshkina. The Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan announced its backing for Islamic State. To quote a statement by the IMU leader Usman Ghazi, hereby, on behalf of all members of our movement, in line with our sacred duties, I declare that we are in the same ranks with the Islamic State in this continued war between Islam and non-Muslims. End quote. The IMU group was formed back in 1991 with an ultimate goal of toppling Uzbek President Islam Karimov and creating an Islamic State under Sharia law. Now, as for the Islamic State, over the past few months, the group has seized vast territories in Iraq and Syria and has already declared an Islamic caliphate on the territories under its control. Up to 50,000 militants are currently believed to be fighting for the Islamic State. And to quote Ghazi's statement, you can see Arabs, Chechens, Uzbeks, Tajiks, Kyrgyz, Russians, and many English-speaking Muslim mujahideen in its ranks. End quote. So is the IS operation coming to Central Asia? And how significant is the IMU's decision? This is something we're discussing with our guest speaker, Dr. Theodore Karasik, the Director for Research and Consultancy at Enigma, the United Arab Emirates.
It's very interesting that the IMU has come out with this statement. It's being carried only by a few outlets, and so we need to see if there are other more official jihadist websites that carry this statement. Having said that, it makes perfect sense that the IMU would join up with the Islamic State, because there are many other groups in South Asia, and particularly related to the Taliban, that are beginning to emerge and declaring allegiance to the Islamic State. We've already had four groups come out of the Taliban declaring their allegiance to the Islamic State and sending fighters over into the Levant. The IMU, of course, is part of this nexus of terrorism in Afghanistan / Pakistan, and it would make sense that they would want to join this group in the Levant, but also to begin to look at destabilizing Central Asia in the sense of targeting key countries, particularly Tajikistan and Uzbekistan.
And it's interesting that the development is taking place in a country which seems to be at least more than its neighbors prepared to develop ties with NATO and with the West. Is it a result of that, or is it not a factor in this situation?
That's actually a very good question, because ISIS wants to draw NATO into this battle, just as they drew in the United States and other partners into airstrikes in the Levant. We estimate that in due time, IS will go after Turkey in order to cause NATO to invoke Article 5 and to bring NATO into the fight. The Central Asian states, if you will, in their relations with NATO and other security organizations can also be targets too. The important point here is that by moving into Central Asia, it also forms a bridge with the Uyghurs in East China. And we know that there are 100 Uyghurs fighting with the Islamic State in the Levant right now. So what we're seeing with the IMU and in Central Asia is an attempt not only to bridge between the two regions, but also to draw in other state actors into fighting the Islamic State and their supporters.
When we are looking at a little bit back at the start of Arab Spring, when Muslim Brotherhood parties were coming to power, so are Muslim Brotherhood parties just a step in the same direction as the Islamic State?
The Muslim Brotherhood parties are split in about three different directions. The most important direction is the Dawah faction. They're the most religious and conservative, if you will, of the Muslim Brotherhood. We know that the Muslim Brotherhood, particularly the Dawah faction, has been involved with the Islamic State in terms of helping to transfer fighters and funds to the group, as well as acting as a portal towards North Africa, particularly in Libya. In Libya, we already see the Islamic State beginning to tap into Libyan society. So this cancer is spreading quickly, and the Brotherhood, this faction that I'm talking about, the Dawah faction, is an enabler of the situation.
This is Burning Point. We're discussing whether Islamic State operation is getting to Central Asia. Our guest speaker is Dr. Theodore Karasi, the Director for Research and Consultancy at Enigma Institute in United Arab Emirates. What's to be done? I mean, the old and tested ways of supporting the forces which could oppose those extremist movements, like giving them finance, supporting them technically, seem to be somewhat faulty because those resources quite often tend to fall into the wrong hands. So what is the NATO coalition in Afghanistan going to do about that, if any, and what should a broader international community do about that?
I think that NATO and the international community, including Russia, which must be involved in this process, there needs to be a hard effort to go after the funding streams for these groups. There also needs to be a dedicated campaign to develop the counter-narratives to combating what these Sunni extremist groups are saying. We're starting to see this a bit with various fatwa and other statements coming from key Sunni clerics. However, there's a disconnect between these Sunni clerics and young people who gravitate towards groups like the Islamic State and others throughout the MENA region and Central Asia. There's a requirement for younger clerics to speak up because younger clerics are seen by young people as not being affiliated with the state. So this is what needs to be pushed. This is more of a full pressure point on these Islamic groups by younger scholars so that there's an engagement there where you try to talk people out of joining these Sunni extremist groups.
And you also said that Russia needs to be included into this kind of effort, but what we are hearing from top NATO officials is not exactly encouraging in that respect, is it?
No. What NATO is saying and the United States about Russia is totally counterproductive when the Sunni extremist threat is much larger. This sideshow in Ukraine, although it's very sad, it has to stop. It's distracting a much-needed partner in Moscow because Russia understands very well how this Sunni extremist universe works. Russian foreign policy and Russian security services need to be included in any kind of attempt to mitigate the threat from Sunni extremists. And more importantly, of course, is that Jordan and some of the Gulf states recognize the importance of Moscow, as does, of course, Syria and Iran, because Jordan is now working closely with Russia. We saw King Abdullah go to Moscow to meet with President Putin. This was an important development because it goes to the heart of cooperation on those folks who are from the Russian Federation, not only Chechens and other peoples from the Northern Caucasus, but also people who are fighting with IS and al-Nusra who come from the Middle Volga region. And it is important for Russia to be included in trying to stamp out this trend. On top of that, Russia knows how to conduct the information operations necessary to try to mitigate the ability for these groups to recruit.
Thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Dr. Theodore Karasik, the Director for Research and Consultancy at Enigma Institute, based in United Arab Emirates.
Burning Point.
Well, and now we are joined by our Russian expert, Vladimir Sotnikov, the Director for East-West Strategic Studies Center in Moscow.
Russia would be involved because Uzbekistan is a country which is bordering Russia and it's a member of the Commonwealth of Independent States, and so I expect that some militants from Islamic movement of Uzbekistan would be going through the borders between Russia and Uzbekistan, aiming their efforts to start some terrorist acts probably in the central Russia, like in Volgograd or like in North Caucasus. So really, this is a huge problem for Russia because we have a neighbor and we would like to, and Moscow would like to have a good neighbor in the face of Uzbekistan. And we have quite good relationship now. Not like there were relationship when there were American bases, or in particular one base in Kerchi 10 years ago on the territory of Uzbekistan. So, and we have a good relationship. Now the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan would make any effort to spoil this relationship. So this is the problem for Russia in the sense of spoiled relations with Uzbekistan. This is one problem. And the other problem is that the militants from Uzbekistan would penetrate the Russian-Uzbeki border and are going into the Russia to start up or to begin their terroristic activity on the territory of Russian Federation. So Western partners of Russian Federation, they still thinking whether Russia should join the ranks of those states who are fighting off the Islamic State in Iraq. And one of their actually concern is that the Russian presence in the area of Iraq and Syria and well, in this volatile area, would enhance the Russian position, the Russian stance in the region. This is the global danger. Look, what they are doing now, I mean, these militants, these jihadist terrorists, what they are doing now in this area, I mean, in Iraq and Syria, this is not a regional threat only. This is a global threat, actually. And we should join, of course, but only the government of Russia should decide in which format we should join the forces who are fighting now and who will be fighting in the future against this Islamic State. Of course, we all know that the Taliban movement, for example, was supported by the United States during the civil war in Afghanistan, during the time when the Soviet troops moved to Afghanistan. It was long, long ago. It was more than 20 years ago, or exactly 20 years ago. So probably, I mean, I'm not excluding the fact that or the possibility that some special services from our Western partners were taking part in creating these movements and like Islamic State. And what is that in essence Islamic State? Islamic State is those militants who were trained and who were actually weaponized and armed with weapons by some of our Western partners. And now they are fighting against them, against their former masters. So I'm not excluding the situation that the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan also got the same treatment and got the same support from some of our Western partners. Unfortunately, this is a life, this is a political life, and this is a big politics, and in the big politics, the national interests, or so-called national interests, they are playing a big role. And just like it was when there was the Soviet Union, I think now some of our Western partners still don't like the idea that Russia would be strong and would be enhancing itself in the world arena, especially in these volatile regions like AFPAC, like the Middle East.
Sir, thank you so much. And just to remind you, this time our guest speaker was Vladimir Sotnikov, the director of East-West Strategic Studies Center, based in Moscow. Well, and with this, we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.